The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 9, text number 19, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 17th, 2010, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 9, text number 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam meva kalud mahadabicharati krama karchnenat mane palati. Translation. When an envious person commits an offense before a great personality, he is always punished in the way mentioned above. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Parakamala Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha. So, these dacoits, they greatly offended Jadbharat. They were preparing to kill him. What could be more offensive? Such offenses against Vaishnavas do not go unpunished. This verse is saying an offense. It doesn't say only such an offense. It says, in general, when one commits an offense before a great personality, he's punished. This is why the preachers are very careful in the way that they preach. Because they don't want people to commit offenses and be punished. They try to present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in such a way that people will be attracted to it. There are many lessons to be derived from this verse. We are living in the society of great personalities, the Vaishnavas. So we have to be careful not to offend them. Some devotees say, well, I know the easy way not to commit Vaishnava aparadha, offense against Vaishnavas. I have the easy solution how I will never commit Vaishnava aparadha. I will go live in the forest, and therefore I will never commit Vaishnava aparadha. But that is also Vaishnava
aparadha.
Because Srila Prabhupada has instructed us to live in the society of the devotees as much as possible. To associate as much as possible with devotees. Therefore, if we want to remain aloof, living in the forest, we are committing the aparadha of disobeying Srila
Prabhupada.
So, therefore, we have to learn how to properly associate with devotees. We have to learn how to have proper relationships with devotees. This is one of the most important aspects of developing pure bhakti. Pure relationships with devotees. Just like I have an upcoming seminars I'll be giving in Johannesburg, South Africa. Seminars on how to attain pure devotional service. I just received an email message yesterday. The temple authorities are requesting that within this seminar I should talk about devotee relationships. I have no difficulty including that in my seminar. Because actually that is the whole means of achieving pure devotion. It's having proper relationships with devotees. Without proper relationships with devotees, there's no question of pure bhakti. Of course, you can be a devotee without proper relationships. But that's called Kanishta Adhikari, low-class materialistic devotee. I remember seeing one such devotee when I was preaching in Houston many years ago. I noticed he was he had a jewelry store. He ran a jewelry store where they sell the jewelries, rings and watches and diamonds. So I noticed in a very expensive shopping mall, very for the rich people. But I noticed that he would come to the temple only once a week. He would come every Monday morning before he opened his business for the week. He would take darshan. If you wanted to talk to him and make friends, he didn't want to talk to you. He simply wanted to come and get the blessings of a deity to make a lot of money that week. And he wanted no relationships with any devotees. Maybe he's afraid we were asking for a donation. So that's called Kanishta Adhikari. He wants to be a devotee, but he doesn't want any relationship with devotees. So such a person will never make progress. As confirmed in the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas chate janaha. Mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna tells Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my real devotee. So, if someone says, I love Krishna so much, but I hate the devotees, is that real love of Krishna? No. You can only love Krishna in so much as you love his devotees. Srila Prabhupada always quoted the English saying, if you love me, love my dog. So what are the Vaishnavas? What is this called? Dog colored. Dog colored. Sabaka. Yes, so we are the dogs of God, you see. We are God's dogs. So if you want to love God, you must love God's dogs. Otherwise, you will never accept. Now, there was even a popular song like that, I remember. That every time I go to town, the boys keep kicking my dog around. It makes no difference if he is a clown. It doesn't matter if my dog is a fool. They have to stop kicking my dog around. So the dog is very dear to the master. Even if the dog is a fool, of course dogs are fools by nature, but still the dog is very dear to the master. If you kick somebody's dog, they're going to not like you very much. If you want that person to love you, you better love their dog. Nice boy, nice doggy. If you love their dog, they'll like you. Oh, he likes my dog likes him. Oh, he's very good, you see. So in the same way with Krishna and Krishna's devotees. If Krishna sees you love the devotees, you're best friends of the devotees. You love Guru, you love Vaishnavas. You just want to be with the devotees all the time. You love devotees. Then Krishna will say, oh, this devotee, he is my real devotee. I will give him all blessings. So we have to know this art of how to become Krishna conscious. We have to find a way to love the devotees. It's and as preachers, we have to make ourselves. We have to give our association to others in such a way that they will love us. That's our duty as preachers. Because that's how people will become Krishna conscious, if they love the devotees. I remember when I first met the devotees, I wasn't very attracted to them. I thought they were a bunch of nuts. Crazy people. Bunch of young men, you know, who could have so many girlfriends. They shave their head and put on some robe, and what is this craziness? They're young men, they're handsome, young, powerful men, they could have girlfriends, but now they're just chanting Hare Krishna. But then I met Vishnu Janaswami. And he was so sweet. He was just oozing with unlimited oceans of nectar. I mean, he was really super sweet. Just being with him, you felt like you're in the spiritual world. In fact, Prabhupada even said that. He wrote Vishnu Janamaraj a letter. He told Vishnu Dhanmaras, he said, when you were leading the kirtan in Los Angeles, I was feeling how by your kirtan I was being carried back to the spiritual world. So you can imagine how sweet his kirtans were. If even Prabhupada felt that he was being carried on the wings of Vishnu Janmarja's kirtans back into the spiritual sky. So, when I met Vishnu Janmarja, my whole attitude about the devotees changed, you see. He was immediately a hero for me. He's so wonderful. I want to be like him. This is called acharya, you see. One who sets an example of what it really means to be a devotee. So then you meet such a person, you want to be a devotee too. So this is, as preachers, this is what we have to do. We can't just say, you know, oh, you're no good because you eat meat and you have illicit sex. You're a demon because you have illicit sex and you smoke cigarettes. You're a demon. You're not going to attract somebody to Krishna consciousness like that. You have to just be an ocean of mercy. You have to appreciate the good qualities of that person. I mean, everybody has good qualities. You may have to look hard, but actually everybody has good qualities. I mean, even Osama bin Laden must have some good qualities. So when you deal with a person, you try to find something in that person that's very nice about that person. And you appreciate that quality about that person. One of my godbrothers, just after Prabhupada's disappearance, he made a very wonderful observation about Srila Prabhupada. He said Srila Prabhupada could find that spark of devotion in the heart of every person. And he could fan that spark into a blazing fire. So this is what we, as preachers, this is what we have to do. We have to see the wonderful quality in the other people. And encourage them to become, all right, I see your good quality now, increase it, increase it, increase it, increase it. So in this way, if we preach to the non-devotees, and we also appreciate the devotees, then there won't be any room for offenses. And as I many times explained before, there is a special insider secret in the path of bhakti. I'll give you an example. Just like Hari Balananda, he plays a really good mridanga, you see. Now if I think, well, he must be really puffed up because of that mridanga playing. He's such a rascal that, you know, he just thinks he's really the greatest drum player in the world. He must be really puffed up. You see, if I have that attitude towards Hari Balananda, then I will learn how to play the drum nicely? No, I'll never be able to play the drum nicely. But if I think, well, Hari Balananda plays the drum so nicely, this is his love of Krishna. He's expressing his love of Krishna through the drum. In this way, if I appreciate his drum playing, you see, then I will also become drum player. Of course, I don't want to get him puffed up. He's really a rascal, we all know that.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure he doesn't get too puffed up by my example. So you can come out of the turtle, you can come out of the shell now, Hari Balananda. But this is, I'm making a point. If you simply see the fault in other devotees, then you will never advance in Krishna consciousness. You will always remain a neophyte. You can practice, you can chant Hare Krishna for 50 years and still remain a neophyte. Can you imagine being a neophyte after 50 years of chanting 16 rounds? 50 years? You could still be a neophyte. If all you do is find fault with the devotees. But if you can see the genuine, wonderful quality in each and every devotee. You see? Then you become very advanced very quickly. I remember when here is Shama Sundari sitting in the back there. I remember when her mother many years ago brought her forward for a name. I asked Shama Sundari, he said, What do you like the most about Krishna? What do you like the most about Krishna? Why do you like Krishna? Yeah, that's it. She said, because he's so beautiful. So I appreciate, oh, this is wonderful. This little girl has a, she appreciates Krishna's beauty, you see. So seeing that appreciation for the beautiful, the wonderful beauty of Krishna, I was inspired to name her Shama Sundari. Seeing the her appreciation for Krishna's beauty, I was inspired to name her, give her the name Shama Sundari. So, just as I was seeing that wonderful quality in that little girl who is now becoming a big girl. We should all of us try to see the wonderful qualities in all the devotees. Because in this way, our good qualities will become manifested. In other words, only to the extent that you appreciate the good qualities of the other devotees, to that extent do your good qualities develop. Well, someone says, no, I just worship my guru. I only appreciate my guru, nobody else. Just my guru, nobody else. My guru is a pure devotee and everybody else is just a rascal. Is that a proper attitude? No, there is Diksha Guru, the initiating guru, and other devotees, they are also guru for us to the extent that they inspire us in our Krishna consciousness. That is called Siksha Guru. Of course, our Diksha Guru, he is our ultimate authority. But others who inspire us in our service to our Diksha Guru, they are our Siksha Gurus. So in this way, we want to learn this art of how to appreciate all devotees, not just my Diksha Guru. This point is confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur. One of his beautiful bhajans, Nama Sankirtan. Anande Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Manjayaman. He says, ecstatically chant Hare Krishna. Worship the holy Vrindavan Dham. And always within your heart, worship the lotus feet of Guru. and Vaishnavas. So not only is Guru worshipable, Vaishnavas are also worshipable. The more we can appreciate Vaishnavas, the more we will be living in the Vaikuntha atmosphere. And we'll never have to be afraid of committing an offense. Because we will naturally, by loving the Vaishnavas, we'll always behave properly with them, automatically. We won't have to worry about having Goddess Kali cut off our head. Said any questions?
If we see some faults in devotees, how correctly see that?
Yes. There's two ways to see the faults, two ways to see faults. One is in a mood of pride. The other is in a mood of love. If you see in the mood of pride, then you're in trouble. Just see that stupid jerk. He's not Krishna conscious. But I am Krishna conscious. Then you're in trouble if you see that way. What do you think? Here's a devotee who's struggling to be Krishna conscious. He's having difficulty with this fault. Let me try to help him to overcome this fault. You see, that sort of fault finding, that seeing a fault is very good. In a mood of compassion. It's like a doctor sees the sickness of his patient. And he tries to cure the patient. So if you're seeing someone's fault and you're feeling compassion, how can I help this person overcome this fault? And that's very good. Is that clear? Yeah. Next question.
What to do if I cannot have relationship equal with everybody? Some I like, some I don't like, and some I ignore.
That's all right. According to, there are, as Prabhupada explains, there are devotees in different modes of nature. Some devotees, and there are also those who are more advanced, equally advanced, and less advanced. Some devotees who are in the mode of ignorance, it's better to avoid their association, but always respect them from a distance. This is described in Prabhupada's books. If somebody is more advanced than you, you should offer your humble obeisances at their feet. Beg their mercy. Inquire from them. Serve them. If someone is on an equal level with you, then you become friends with them, revealing your heart to them about your struggle along the pathway. If someone is less advanced and they're not they don't have a negative, you know, they're not like a inimical person, an innocent person, you should try to be kind to them. So we should gravitate towards devotee relationships which are favorable for our Krishna consciousness. If there's some devotee that whenever I get close to him, we immediately start fighting. Then it's better that, you know, he serves in one department, I serve in the other department. So we have to use our intelligence to try to place ourselves in such situations that we can always feel encouraged and advance nicely in Krishna consciousness. Even in the association of devotees, we have to see who are my best devotees to associate with. But even if we have difficulties with certain devotees, we should always maintain the mood of love and respect for them. But that doesn't mean we have to make them our intimate friends. Does that answer your question? Okay. Other questions? Yes.
Often I want to have a relationship with somebody, but when I come to contact, I cannot speak. It's like I am afraid or something like this. So I can't relate.
Just learn how to hear. Can you hear? A good relationship is based on good hearing. Not on speaking, but on hearing. If you are a very good listener, then you can build good relationships with anyone. If you're willing to open your heart up to hear them fully reveal their heart to you, then with anybody you can make a good relationship. Don't be so eager to speak. But be very, very eager to hear what the other person has to say. And then you can make very good relationships with devotees. Next question. Shamasundari.
How Krishna is so fast that he can be everywhere?
So what?
So fast.
Fast? Quick? Actually, you may think, Krishna has to be very quick to be everywhere. But Krishna doesn't have to be quick to be everywhere. Because he's already everywhere. Without having even to go there, he's already every minute he's everywhere. In other words, he doesn't have to travel from here to there to be in the other place, because he's already in the other place. Just like when you were at home, Krishna was at home. And now Krishna is here at the temple also. Did he have to travel? Did you come by a car today or a bus? How did you get here, Shamasundari? By walking? Walking. So that Krishna has to also walk over here to be here? No. Krishna is at your house and he's also here. So he didn't have to walk. Like you had to walk, but Krishna didn't have to walk. Because he's already here. So in this way, just try to understand what is Krishna. Dikkalad yana vachane Krishna cheta vidaya cha Tanmaya Bhavati Chipram Jiva Brahmani Yajaya is explained in the Narada Pancharatra that by concentrating one's attention on the transcendental form of Lord Sri Krishna, who is all pervading and beyond time and space, one becomes absorbed in thinking about him and then attains the happy state of transcendental association with him. So Krishna is completely beyond time and space. And at the same time, he's everywhere within time and space. In the past, Krishna was always present in every place. At the present moment, Krishna is always present in every place. And in the future, Krishna will always be present in every place. And if you can always think about Krishna, then you will always be in his association at every minute, wherever you are. So, Shyamasundari, you should always think about Krishna and never forget him. Okay, any other questions?
How should I relate with some devotees who don't like me?
Try to like them in spite of the fact they don't like you. Your love will eventually melt their hate. You have to make your love stronger than their hate. Because love, in the end, love always wins out over hate.
Keep following four principles and chant 16 rounds is easy, but why it is hard to surrender to spiritual master and Krishna?
Yeah, well, so are you chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles? For how long have you been doing that?
16 years,
and it's hard for you to surrender to a guru. We have to learn how to trust the spiritual master. You see, in this material world, we've been cheated by so many people. We put our trust in this person and that person, we were disappointed. I'm sure you've had that experience in this life. You trusted certain people and you were very disappointed by that, you see. So now to protect yourself from being burned again, you're keeping yourself aloof. Have I understood you correctly? Yes. So in one sense that's very good. Because that protects you from the bad association of materialistic people. You've made yourself like an island, you know, in the middle of nowhere, but totally cut off from everyone. That's good. That's one of the principles of Vaishnava, being living a life of solitude. It's very good. In terms of material association. But when it comes to spiritual association, you need to open up. You need to cultivate a loving, trusting relationship with a bona fide spiritual master. You need that. You desperately need it. So how will you do that? By opening your... Just like now, you've opened your heart to me. But you don't want to blindly surrender to a spiritual master. That would not be good. But what you've done just now by asking this question, this is excellent. Because it is one of the six loving exchanges given by Rupa Goswami. You see, you've openly revealed your heart to me. And now I'm openly revealing my heart to you. This is called exchange of love. So the way that we can actually develop trust in a bona fide spiritual master is by engaging in loving exchange with him. And then gradually, as there's more and more loving exchange between you and the spiritual master, you will naturally, you don't have to blindly surrender to him. No, that's no good. But you just have to maintain that loving exchange with him. And then gradually, you will naturally develop trust in him, and you want to surrender. It won't be artificial. You'll have that desire to surrender to him. You'll see that the spiritual master has given me so much love. No one's ever loved me like that before. He's given me such pure, wonderful love. I want to give my love too back to him. And when you feel like that, then surrender will just naturally happen. It won't be artificial. So in this way, I encourage you to maintain a relationship. You have my email address? Here, you maintain, you stay in touch with me constantly. Keep me regularly posted on your spiritual life. And that will help you to come out of your shell. You can write me regularly with how your spiritual life is going, what problems you're having, what questions you may have. So you do that now. You maintain regular contact with me by email. Do you accept my invitation? Okay, very good. Okay, any other questions?
How to help each other not to make offenses? How to relate in such a way that not to make offenses?
I just gave a whole class on them. By love, naturally there'll be no offenses. You see, offenses only come when you're not engaging in a loving relationship. If I associate you without any love, then I must be offensive by nature. In other words, there's two ways you can associate with somebody. In a loving way or an offensive way. It's either one or the other, day or night. Either I engage you with you in a loving way or I engage with you in an offensive way. What does offensive way mean? How can I use you for my sense gratification? See, use something for gratifying me. You see, that's offensive. But loving is how can I serve you? So the key is always think, how can I be of service to these devotees? And there'll never be any offense. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Norėjau paklausti, mes bendraujam, nu, toks mano supratimas, kad aš esu dvasinė siela ir kiti yra dvasinės sielos. Ir jeigu aš, pavyzdžiui, bendrauju su kitais šiurkščiai, tai aš nu, jau materialistinė tokia sistema paimu. Kaip man bendrauti, kad galėčiau žmogui, nu, tokia, net ir platinant knygas, kad jo neįžeisti taip smarkiai. Nes aš matau, kad aš nenoriu to įžeidimo, bet per tą žmogų įmą įžeidimą.
Kaip? Jis bendrauja su žmogum patinant knygas.
Taip, taip.
Ir nenorėdamas jūs vieną įžeidimą.
Jis pradeda įžeidinėti, bet man ką reikia daryti, nusileidžiu iki tiek, kad jau nebėgu.
Kad geriau matau.
Sometimes when I'm distributing books, some people start to offend me. I am trying to be very humble. How I should react in such situations?
What do they say to you?
Ką jie sako jum?
Sektantas.
You are from sect.
Huh?
You are sectant. Sectarian.
What?
You are from some sect.
Sect? You are from a sect. That's an interesting statement. You're from a sect. No, you just say, the fact is we're not a sect. That's the first one. You just tell them, no, I'm not from a sect. I'm a free-thinking individual and I'm your friend. I'm not a member of any sect. This is not a sectarian movement, you see. This is the universal science of the soul. Everyone is our brother. You see? No, I'm not a sect. I'm not a member of a sect. I'm out here because I love people. I love you. I found a wonderful joy in life and I want to share it with you. Take this book and read it. You'll attain unlimited bliss. Next question.
Why this thief choose Jada Bharata, not somebody else?
Oh. Well, they had somebody else, but somehow he got away, and he just happened to be handy nearby. They were looking for somebody, he just happened to be there.
But there is no accident.
Oh, yeah, but on the higher level, it was Krishna's arrangement to glorify Jada
Bharata.
To show the world what a great devotee he is, that goddess Kali would kill all the dacoits to protect him.
It's
Krishna's arrangement ultimately, just to glorify Jada Bharata. Any other questions? Yeah.
Noriu paklausti, Mokytas sako, kuo daugiau bendrauti su atsidavusiais, noriu paklausti, ar Bhaktas gali bent kokią valandą pabūti be atsidavusiai? My question is that you said that we should be as much as possible with devotees. So my question is, can devotee stay alone for at least 1 hour, or he should be 24 hours with devotees?
Can a devotee be alone for 1 hour? I mean, is it okay for him to go to the toilet, for example? There's no, he's alone in the toilet room. Does someone have to go with him to the toilet? Actually, according to our service, we have to do the needful. To remain always in the society of devotees means within your heart also.
Within your heart, you should always be in a mood of a loving, embracing mood with all the devotees. Just like I feel that it's very, very important part of my spiritual life that I'm always associating with my God brothers. But where are they? I'm alone. It appears. It appears I'm alone here. Practically, when I travel all over the world, there's no God brothers. So how can I maintain my Krishna consciousness without my God brothers? But actually, I'm always associating with my God brothers. Within my heart, I'm always thinking about them and appreciating their wonderful qualities. Even if there were some God brothers that we had some disagreement and we didn't get along so well, still I meditate on their good qualities. So whether you're physically with the Vaishnavas or not, if you have a job, you may have to go work in a place where there's no devotees. Or you may live in a family where you're the only devotee in the family. But you have to keep the devotees always within your heart. Okay, our time has run out. We invite everyone to come today at 3 o'clock. We're having a wonderful lecture in Visaganas. Yes. Atmaram has a Prabhu has a car. Anybody need a ride, talk to Atmaram Prabhu. The programs of Visaganas are always just oozing with unlimited nectar. Radharaman has a car also. So anybody who doesn't fit into Atmaram's car, talk to Radharaman and fit into his car. In this way, somehow or other, by hook or by crook, get to Visaganas by 3 o'clock. Because every time we have these programs in Visaganas, they are just oozing with unlimited nectar. So if you're hungry for more nectar, be in Visaganas at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Achula bhai.